So we're holding on Pezayin on the Beis at the beginning of the Gemara, about 15 lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, we had the cases where a woman was told by one aide where her husband is dead. And then if she remarries and it turns out that her husband is alive and he comes back, then there's a whole bunch of serious consequences that apply to her in terms of her original marriage and of the new marriage. On the other hand, the Mishnah had gone on to say that a case where Nisus Shaloi Bereshus, she married without permission of Beis Din, meaning because she didn't need permission from Beis Din because there were two Edim. It's a machlokas for showing him whether those Edim need to be interrogated in Beis Din specifically or whether the Kabbalah's Edus can be outside of Beis Din. But in any case, the point is once they've been listened to, then they don't need, then Beis Din doesn't need to tell her in so many words, you're allowed to remarry, because at that point she is allowed to remarry. Two Edim is the gold standard. So the Gemara says, so then the Mishnah said, so mid katoni sefer, so the Gemara starts off, since the sefer says, nisis shaloi b'rishus mutaris lach shaloi, it says if she remarried without permission, meaning because she didn't need permission of Beis Din, because there were two Edim, then she's allowed to return to her first husband, as opposed to in the ratio of the Mishnah, where we said that we penalize her, and we say she's also to both her first husband and her second. The implication is shaloi b'shus Beis Din. What does shaloi b'shus Beis Din mean? It means ela b'edim, means there were two edim, and therefore you didn't really need permission from Beis Din. So miklal the resha b'shus Beis Din of edechad. So that the implication then is that the resha, which says that she's not allowed to stay married to either one of them, she has to get divorced from both of them, and she's not allowed to remarry either one, must be talking about where there was b'shus Beis Din, but there was one aid. So one aide came, said her husband is dead, Beis Din listened to that aide and accepted that aidus, and then it turned out that her husband is alive after all. So, Alma aide echad nemen. So we see from that one aide is believed, and at this point, the Gemara seems to be assuming that he's acceptable even on a Daraisa level. So the Gemara says, Tanan Nami. Now we have several other places where we see that there are certain cases where one aide is accepted. At the end of our Masechta, when we talk about more about these dinim, about when there's edus that a man is dead so that his wife can remarry, huchzaku, they had the chachamim established a chazaka, lias masiyan aid mipi aid, that, for example, you're allowed to have her remarry on the basis of hearsay evidence. So one aide says, so the aide comes to Beis Din and says, I didn't hear directly, I wasn't there directly to see that Pliny died, but I heard from somebody who was. The Isha Mepi Isha, or even you have one woman reporting in the name of another woman, the Isha Mepi Evan Mepi Shivcha, or a woman giving edus because that she heard from a slave or from a slave woman. So also Alma Edechad Meheman. So there also we see that one aid is acceptable in order to allow a woman to be married, to say that her husband is dead. The point is, we're going to ask, where's the basis for that? Then we have an example outside of matters of igun. We have outside of matters of determining that a woman is no longer an eshes ish. We have another Mishnah that says, Eid echad omar chalta chalev. If one aid says to a person, you ate chalev, therefore you have to bring a korban. But who I'm a loyal chalti, but he denies it and says, I didn't eat it, potter, then he's potter from a korban. Implying time of the omaloya chalti, implying only because he says I didn't eat it. So then, in other words, so that weakens he would know better. So if there were two edim, then we wouldn't believe him. You say you didn't eat it. Tough luck. You have two edim against you. But when it's only one aid, if he denies it, then we believe him. Ha ishtik meheman, implying that if he's quiet, then we would believe the one aid. Again, alma aid echad meheman midaraisa. So all of this implies that one aid is acceptable even on a daraisa level, because if it was only darabanan on the face of it, how would darabanan have the ability to declare that this woman is allowed to remarry, and how would the rabbanan have the authority to say that a person brings a korban when the chachamim can't tell a person to bring a korban that he wouldn't be chayiv in daraisa, because then you have the problem of bringing chulin la'azara. So all of this shows that there's cases where one aid is believed on a daraisa level. So where do we know that? Menolon. So where do we know that from? So Ditanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Oi hoida elav chatosa. The Pasuk describes when a person does something that makes them chayiv, that would have made them chayiv koris if it was bemezid, and now instead it's beshoigig, so they have to bring a korban. So the Pasuk says, Oi, the word oi literally means or, but sometimes it means when, So when his chatas, when his the aveda that he did has been made known to him, implying that he knows it himself, so it means not if others inform him, which we're going to explain in a second what the braisa means. And the braisa continues, yochol af bishenim achisha yei potter. You would think that he's potter even if he doesn't deny what that other person tells him. After all, the pasuk says, or if it was informed to him, meaning no matter what, as long as he was informed, then he's chayev the chatas. So let's figure out what the braisa is talking about. Hey, chidon. If you're talking about that two edim came and he's not contradicting them, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that he has to bring a chatas. Of course, two edim is two edim. El alav chad. So now, in other words, because the point is, the pasuk is saying the braisa is saying yochol afapi she'ini matchish. So if he's not denying them, if he's not contradicting them, then he's chayev. So now, if there were two edim, it wouldn't make a difference whether he's contradicting them or not. And to begin with, we said that if he's not contradicting them, we have a pasuk to tell us that he's chayev. If there's two edim, then we don't need the pasuk to be telling us that. It's obvious that if there were two edim, then he has to bring the chatas. El olav chad. On the face of it, then, we must be talking about one aid. So the first part of the braisa is saying that if one aid informs him and he does disagree with that aid and said, I didn't eat chalev, then he's potter. And then the sefer of the braisa is telling us that if the one aid tells him, you ate chalev, and he doesn't contradict him, then in fact he would be chayev chatas. So, and the v'chiloi kamakash lemeheman, we're saying that if he doesn't contradict him, then he is believed and he's chayev in a korban. Shmamina eda chadneman. Therefore, showing that you have a case. Therefore, it's showing that he was an example where one aid is believed on a total level. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Umimai mishum de meheman. Who says it's because the aid is believed? Duma mishum de kashosik or shikka kaida damya. Maybe it's actually precisely because the guy is being quiet and not contradicting them. And we know a concept called shtika kaida. Being quiet is the equivalent of admitting. Now, Tosfos says a little further in the sugya, it doesn't mean necessarily that he's actually admitting that what you're saying is true, but he's being quiet in the sense that he's saying, you know what, I'm not sure. Maybe you're right, maybe not. Because it's called raglayim ladover, Tosfos says. Tosfos says it can't be that it means that he actually is admitting it. Explains why the Gemara would be implying that. On the other hand, there are other places where Tosfos seems to say that it means that shesika kaida means literally that he's admitting it. A nafkamina would be, if we're talking about here in the case of chaylev, it's possible for him to know whether it was chaylev or not. There could be other examples where he may really have no way to know, and he's being quiet because he has no way of contradicting them. Would that mean, in such cases, would we still say shesika kaida because after all, it's considered like he's admitting to them, or would we say that not? Because we say, you know, the reason why he's being quiet in that case is because he really has no way to know. So Tosfos explains, by the way, that even if we say at this point in the discussion that one aid is believed on a total level, we're still going to say that all the consequences in the Mishnah apply to her, because the fact of the matter is that she should have been more careful, as we discussed yesterday. Isha Daiko Minseva, even though we're going to say at this point in the discussion that the Torah believes the one aid and based and listened to him and gave her permission, still she should have been more cautious before she goes and remarries, and therefore all the consequences in the Mishnah can still be applied to her. So now the Gemara is saying at this point in the discussion that maybe actually it's not that one aid is believed, it's only because he's being quiet, in which case it's considered that he's at least partially admitting to what they're saying. Teda, and you can show that to Katoni Sefer, because after all, the Braisa continues, that same Braisa continues, Omru Shnayim Achal Techelev, that if two people said, you ate Chelev, V'huayim Aloy Achalti, and he says, I didn't eat it, then he's Potter. He's still Potter from a Korban, but Reb Meir Machayev, Reb Meir says he's chayev, and Omer Reb Meir kav chomer. Reb Meir says, of course, it's kav chomer that they should be mechayev in a korban. After all, two people, two Edim, can bring him even to Misa, which is much stronger. If two people say he broke Shabbos for Mazin, and they come and testify in Beis Din, he might be standing there screaming, "I didn't break Shabbos." Doesn't matter. We're not gonna pay any attention to him when there's two Edim against him. So if they can even do that, lo yivu l'dei korban akal, is it logical that they can't bring him to bring a korban, which is a much more lenient thing? Of course. So why should it matter if he's contradicting them? Says Reb Meir. Omru loy, but the Chachamim answer to the mayor, the reason why he's still potter, if he denies it, ma'im yutzaloy me'mezid ha'yis. Because what if he wanted to say that I was amazed? Well, amazed doesn't bring a korban. He only brings it b'shegig. Now, the Edom can't know what his mental state was at the time. They can only see that he ate chaylev or didn't. So Rashi says, in effect, what he has is a migri. He has migri because he could have said mezid or yisi. Therefore, we accept what he's saying when he's saying that when he's saying that he didn't eat it at all. Tosfos discusses and says maybe not necessarily. It's not really a migri because we generally say that a person doesn't have a migri b'makom edim. Where edim come and say that such and such happened, we don't say a migri that he could have said such and such. But rather, what it is. So it's not so much that he could have said that it's not so much that he could have said that he was mazed, but rather that it's not in other words that we say that he could have said he didn't eat it. The fact is, Adam said he ate it, but he could have explicitly said I ate it but mazed, and that would it doesn't contradict the Edim, so therefore we can accept it because the Edim have no way of knowing. In other words, the migui would be that he doesn't even have to say I ate it but mazid. He just says lo yachalti, and we say migui that he could have said mazid, therefore we accept him to say lo yachalti. So Tosfos is saying that no, he could have explicitly said I was b'mazid, and therefore when he says lo yachalti, then we can interpret it to mean that I ate it b'mazid. And therefore, you're saying Edus that I ate chaylev. I agree, I ate chaylev, but you have no way of knowing my mental state. And I say I was doing it amazing. There's other places and where this topic is brought up also that Ramban discusses that maybe in that particular case we have more reason to believe him because after all the korban is between even if we say that it is a true migui, which it actually seems to be saying. Then we could say, usually we don't say migui b'makom edim, but here we were talking about it's to pater him from a korban. Listen, if he chooses, it's one thing by dinim mominus, we can't do that. But here, where it's a matter between him and Hashem, whether he wants the kapara of the korban or not, then we can say that maybe we would accept even a migui b'makom edim. Anyway, it continues the Gemara. So, Reisha my time become a chayvi menabanon. So now let's go back. What are we saying in the sefer when there are two edim? Then the chachamim are saying that he's potter if he denies what the edim are saying, or if he says lo yachalti, whether because of a migui or whether because he could have explicitly said I ate it b'mezid. So Reisha my time become a chayvi menabanon. Well, then let's ask why in the Reisha are the Chachamim being mechayev him if he doesn't say anything? The Reisha being when there's only one, which we established that the Reisha is talking about when there's only one aid. Ilema mashum de meheman. Is it because the one aid is believed? That's it. So it can't be. After all, when you have two Edom in general, even if he's contradicting them, inu mehemni, we still believe them because they're the gold standard of evidence in halacha. V'kapatri rabbanon, and yet the chachamim are saying that he's potter because of this migui or because of this migui or whatever. Ela lav mishum de'ishti. So obviously the reason is the reason why in the reisha why he's potter. Or in the sefer rather, why is he chayev mishum de'ishtik? Obviously, because he's being quiet. Ushsika kaida damya, and so we apply the rule of shsika kaida. So we can say that in both parts of the brisa, we're saying that if he's quiet, then he does have to bring the korban, whether there's one aid or two aidim. And if he protests and says that no, then we're saying that in neither case does he have to. So the key thing is not one aid versus two aidim. The key thing is whether he's protesting, whether he's denying it or not, where the Chachamim are saying that after all, he has a migui. So we don't really have a basis based on that to say that one aid all by themselves is enough to establish something. Here, when we have in our Mishnah, when the one aid comes and says that the woman's husband died, then we're so is it necessarily that the Torah is accepting one aid? Not necessarily. Maybe only if the if there's no protest against it. Well, in this particular case, the woman herself really has no way of knowing, let's say, other than the one aid. So therefore, that doesn't show that one aid in general would be believed for such things. We need to find a different reason why one aid is acceptable in this case.
That logic, you could say that even when there's two aidim, he could come with his so-called migui and say, you don't know what was my mental state.
That's
I did
exactly
it amazing.
That's exactly what the Chachamim said. That's exactly what the Chachamim said. Mayim yitzalayim, amazing things. Exactly. So now, when it comes to Chalev, we can say that. When it comes to Eish HaSish, of course, then you don't really have that. But the point is, first, we're going to figure out where we see that one aid works by Chalev and by others and by other such things. So here we're going to see actually. So once we establish that Chalev is kind of a special case, and we don't just mean Chalev, of course, we mean any other case that would be Mechayev him and Achatas. So now we have to find a different reason why one aid, Bechlal, what's the basis for saying that one aid can testify that her husband is dead and that can be accepted by Beis Din. And then based on that, we'll understand the rest of the Mishnah. So right. So when it comes to Chalev, exactly, he's able to say Mezidah. You see, when it comes to you don't really have that. So El Svarim. So rather, the answer is the fact that one aid is acceptable is a Svarim. Because you can compare it to a case where you have a piece of something which is a suffix, whether it's chaylev, which is osir, or whether it's shuman, which is kosher to fat and is mutter. If now one aid comes and says, I know for a fact that it's shuman, we would believe him. So in the same way over here, now where do we know that svara in turn from? So Rashi says, think of it, it has to be that way because otherwise, for example, how could somebody ever eat by somebody else's house? If you said that one aid is not naman for such things, imagine I come to eat by you and you tell me this food is kosher. How do I know this food is kosher? You're only one aid. And yet, obviously, we don't say that. So therefore, we see that to establish that something is mutter, we see that you can have that one aid can be enough sometimes. There's different other Rishonim talk about different possibilities where we learn it from exactly. Rashi himself in other places mentions, for example, we see that one person is allowed to shecht and other people can eat from his shechita, where again, he's only one aid that he performed the shechita properly and we don't require two aidim to be standing there and watching him. Tosfos mentions another source of it. Tosfos Yishanim mentioned by a nida, the pasuk says for safra law that she counts for herself her clean days, and then she goes to the mikveh. And again, the husband doesn't need two aidim for that to say that his wife has that 7 days have been counted and that she's gone to the mikveh. It's in he can trust her word. So therefore, again, we see that there are in order to establish that something is mutter, one aid can be enough. So the same way over here, to establish that this woman is mutter, one aid can be enough. But the Gemara says, "Me dummy, how could you compare that?" In the case that you're describing, where you have a piece which is suffik chaylev, suffik shuman, you don't have a chazaka of isu yet. You don't know that there is an isu here at all. Here, when it comes to a married woman, we already have a chazaka. She has a chazaka of being osir, that she's in because she's an eishes ish. You want to undo that chazaka. You can't undo that chazaka just based on one aid. As the Gemara is going to point out in a second, it's rather a case as if you had something where you had a chazaka of being treif, and one aid comes and says it's mutter, would that be allowed? So the same way over here. And a second point, the Gemara adds, the ein davar she'be'erva pachas mishnayim. Furthermore, when it comes to a dvar erva, when it comes to anything involving arayas, then you need at least two. So how can you say that one aid is enough to tell us that her status is no longer that of an HSH when she had a chazaka of beforehand of being one, and in general it's a davar shevaherga? Holay damya elo lachaticha devadei chaylev. Then in that case it has to be comparable more to a piece which is known to be chaylev. V'asa aid echad v'am bori li d'shuman haba. And one aid comes and says, I know it's shuman. B'lay mehaman, we're not going to believe him. So back to the question, why in our Mishnah are we believing one aid to say that this woman's husband is dead, that her chazaka has changed? The Gemara says, me dummy. After all, it's not the same thing. Because after all, in the case of the Chalev, even if 100 people came and said that it's Truman, we wouldn't believe them, because the status of that the status of that piece of Chalev is never going to change. If it is Chalev, and we knew already previously that it was, then that's it. Then no matter how many people come and tell us differently, it's never going to change its status. Hocha, but after all, when it comes to a woman over here, kiven to e also beit shrei mehemni, there's no question that if two edim come and say that her husband is dead, we would believe them. So chad nami lahemne, then even one we could believe, because the difference is that in the case of a woman, unlike with chelev, her status can change. Midi dehava at tevel hektish v'kainamus, because we can compare it to cases of tevel and hektish and a koinam, which is where a person makes a neder and says such and such as a koi is also as a koinam, which is another word for a korban. So all of those things, there is ischazik isura, there's a chazaka of it being osur, but nevertheless, that status can change, and therefore we can accept one aid to say that its status changed. So Tosfos points out, in that case, then what we would say is, when we say ein davar shebe'erva pachus mishnayim, what it would mean is that when it comes to asuring her, then you need two aidim. For example, if let's say you have, if she was Mizana, then you would need two edim to say that she was in order to asa her to her husband. Or to begin with, for example, also in order to make her also to the whole world. For Kiddushin, you need two edim. But now we would be saying that maybe to be matter her, we wouldn't say in davar shebe'erva pachus mishnayim, because again, even though there is ischazik isura, there is a chazaka of an isur, which is a strong thing. On the other hand, it's the kind of chazaka that can change based on circumstances, unlike the case of Chalim. And so it would be more like Tevel and Hektish and Koinam, where their status can also change. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine, so you want to compare it to Tevel, Hektish, and Koinam. Let's go through each one of those things and figure out what the basis by those is that you can rely on one aid. So hi, Tevel, hey, Chidomi. First of all, let's start with Tevel. What's the scenario? Edidei, if you're talking about that it's his own Tevel, and he comes and says that this produce has now been misered, well, that doesn't show that you can believe one aid. That's mishum to be yodil asakno. That's because he has the ability to change its status to take out the truma and meiser. How does that prove, for example, for an eishes ish, where the one aid has no, well, I guess you could say he has the ability, he could go kill her husband. Come on, you know, most of the time, he's not the one who is able to change the status. He's just reporting what happened. So it's not the same thing as somebody saying, I separated meiser from my own tevel. Ela d'acher. So are we talking about produce that belongs to somebody else? So Reuven owns some produce and Shimon comes and tells us, you should know this produce is now meisered. Well, my kasavar. Well, then what are we holding in terms of that? E kasavar totem shaloya shachaveh, right? And it's sort of das by them. Now we have like this. So Shimon's produce, we're not sure if it's been meisered or not. Reuven is telling us that, or the other way around, Reuven's produce, Shimon comes and tells us that it's Meisur. Now, one way that could happen, obviously one way that could happen is if Reuven actually separated Meisur from it. But another way could be that Shimon unilaterally, well, that's what we have to figure out, whether we can unilaterally, conceivably, Shimon could take some of his produce and declare it Truma and Meisur on behalf of Reuven. Well, the question is, do we say that he can do that without even requiring the das of the owner, which in fact is a discussion in Masechta Nedarim? So in other words, so he doesn't even need to ask Reuven. Shimon can just go separate Meiser on his own, and that'll make Reuven's produce good. Well, then that also doesn't show that one aid is acceptable. Again, Mishum Debi Adil Asakna. The reason why we believe Shimon is because he has the actual ability to accomplish that. That doesn't show that would apply in a case where he doesn't have that ability. The ikasavat sarach das by them. If you're going to hold that Shimon does require the das of the owner, the omer anoya dina beidim asakini. So therefore, Shimon is saying not that I took meiser from it, but I know for a fact that Reuven took meiser from it. Well, he grew from a nolan. Well, then you're assuming because that works, then therefore that also works by an HSH. Where's your basis for saying that works? It's one thing, again, when the Yodel Asaknai, it's one thing when it doesn't have a Cheskas Isser, but here where it has a Cheskas Isser, and we're going to say in the Yodel Asaknai, because we're going to say that if he wants to Meiser it, he needs Reuven's permission, and he didn't necessarily get that. Where indeed do we get the idea that one aid would be enough for that? Maybe, in fact, we need two aid him to undo the Chazakah. So we need to first establish that before we can use that as a basis to say that it'll work by a woman where you have the similar case where she has a Cheskas Isser and the aid doesn't have the ability to change that. He can just report on what happened. So next, Hekdesh Nam. We can ask the same thing as far as Hekdesh. What kind of Hekdesh are we talking about? Ik Dushas Domim. Are we talking about something where only the monetary value of it has Kedusha? So somebody donated an object to Hekdesh, where if the object itself is not going to be used for a korban or whatever, then what he's donating is the value of it, and then the gizbar will sell it and use the money for the Beis Mikdash. Well then, again, mishum debi yodei leftoisei. You know why one aid would be believed to say that this is no longer hekdesh? Because he has the ability to be poideh and to change its status, which Tosfos says, we're not even getting into whether it belongs to him or not, because the fact is, even if Reuven is makdish something, Shimon has just as much ability as Reuven to redeem it from hekdesh. It now belongs to hekdesh. It's available for anybody to be poyde. So it can't be we're talking about that. Ik dushas aguf. So we must be talking about something where the intrinsic object itself is kodesh. For example, he designated an animal for a korban. Well, ididei, so then, if it's his, then you could say, you know why? He has the ability to tell us that it's no longer Kodesh as a korban to be yodulate shuli alei, because after all, he has the ability to go and be matu neder. Hekdesh is a neder, after all. So like any neder, there's actually machlokas b'shamei b'silul about it in Masechta Nedarim, but the halacha is like b'silul, as it usually is, that a person is able to be matu neder on matters of hekdesh. So in Nozer, actually, it is. Anyway, so therefore, So it is considered biyode because he has the ability to change the status of this animal or object or whatever by going and being matunedu. That doesn't show that would apply to a case where it's not biyode, for example, to say, whether the woman's husband is alive or not. Ela da'achar. So evidently, we have to be talking about where it's hektish, where it's kedushas aguf, which belongs to somebody else. Va'oma yodaini be'di itchol mori alei. And he's saying, I know that the owner of it was matu neder. Well, again, he go from a nolan. Well, again, then you're assuming that one aid is good enough. But where are you getting that from? We need a source for that. And koinam isnami. Let's work on the third one. When we said that we believe a person on koinam, on something that was asur with a neder, to say that it's mutter. Now, again, what's the case? E kasava yesh me'ila b'koinamos. Is it that we hold that a koinam is considered like a korban to the extent of that me'ila would apply to it? That Rashi explains, in other words, that it's a machlokas in Nedarim. If a person says koinam, that such a thing is a koinam, does that make it in effect like kodesh bedek habayis? Now Rashi uses the expression that he says koinam dovers a lie, that this thing is a koinam on me. On the other hand, Tosfos discusses that maybe not. There might be a difference between whether he says it's a koinam on me, where there we wouldn't say it's considered to that extent like hekdesh, versus if he says it's a koinam on the whole world, where therefore it might be. So if we hold that a koinam is considered tantamount to kodesh bedek habayis, it is kodesh bedek habayis in effect, by saying that it's a koinam, because in effect the word koinam is like the word korban, and the me'ila would apply to it, ukdushas domim nachsaru. So therefore, as soon as he says this is a koinam, then there's kedushas domim on it. Well, again, the reason is why one aid would be believed that that's not so anymore, mishum debi yodei leftoisei. Again, because he has the ability, whether it belongs to him or to somebody else, to be poideh. That doesn't show about a case where he doesn't have that ability. The ikasava ein me'ila b'koinamos. If you're going to say, which again is machlokas there in Nedarim, we'll get to it in a few months, Bez Hashem. So if you hold that me'ila does not apply to koinamos, the iser ba'amahu derochim lohu akasvei, and it's just, so it's not considered hektish, it's just there's an iser on it. He made a neder that this thing is off limits to him, and therefore it's all, or even to the whole world, and therefore it's off limits, nothing to do with hektish, and nothing to do with being poida. Well, again, let's figure out. Ididei, are we talking about that he himself made the koinam statement? Well, again, mishum debi yodei leitshuli alei. The reason why we would believe him to say that it's no longer koinam is, again, because he has the ability to be matu neder. Ela de Acher. So evidently we have to be talking about where it's a konam that belongs, where somebody else made it konam. Well, Omar, I know your diner de Itcho Moriale. And he says, I know that the owner of it was Matu Neder. Well, again, he'd go from a nolon. Well, like we had the question with Tevel and with Hektish, where indeed do we know it from? You're telling me that because by Tevel, Hektish, and Konamos, within each one of them, the specific case that we're talking about, one aid is believed, but you're assuming that, and then basing on that, aid is isha, but you first need to establish that by those three things. The answer is, Omer Abzeira. So Abzeira says, no, the reason why we believe one aid by an Isha, mitoich chomer shech marta alay abasofa, because of the chumra that we're imposing on her at the end, meaning all the consequences that we said in the Mishnah, that she has to divorce both, she has to get divorced from both husbands, she can never return to either one of them, she forfeits uksuba, etc., etc. So because of all of that, hey, kalta alay abatchila. That gives us a basis for being makel on her to begin with, to allow her to get married. Because again, Isha Daiko Minsava, we can assume because of that, that she's going to check very carefully before she remarries, knowing that there's going to be all these penalties that if she doesn't. So the question is, so why are we doing that? You're telling us because we're extra machmer on her, therefore that gives us to be a reason to be makel to begin with. Why do that? Why not just, if you're saying now that one aid is usually not believed on a total level, only we talked about in the special case maybe of chaylev or something, and certainly not when he's chazik isura, certainly not when there's a known chazkas isura over here and he doesn't have the ability to change it. So why be makel and say that one aid is enough? Because in the end, if she does follow that one aid and remarry, we're going to be machmer on her. Why don't we just not do any of that? Say you need two aidim, and therefore if two aidim come, then she's an anusa, and none of these penalties are going to apply. The answer is mishum iguna akilu barabanan. The answer is because the chachamim wanted to be makel on her for the sake of preventing her from becoming an aguna. Because after all, you can have many cases where a person is killed in battle or dies someplace where nobody knows him or whatever, and it's going to be very hard to get to aid him. So there's going to be a lot of cases. There's going to be more cases than necessary where if we required to aid him, then we would never allow her to remarry. So instead, the Chachamim are going to say that we're going to accept one aid, but on the other hand, in order to make sure that we don't just use that willy-nilly, that we don't get careless with that, then the Chachamim say that we're going to apply all these penalties, and that allows us to say that now we can believe the one aid. If then she goes and follows that one aid, then we have a basis for saying that she really knows that she has more of a reason to be certain that what that one aid is saying is true. Let's say, for example, she knows this one aid, and she knows that he's a person not given to lying or exaggeration. So now, ultimately, the question still becomes, how do the Chachamim have the ability to do that? If Daraisa, she's still considered an Eishes Ish because you need two Eidim, then obviously the Chachamim, then on the face of it, the Chachamim don't have the ability to change that and say one Eid is enough. So there are Rishonim who learn that the Gemara doesn't mean that it's only on a Darabanan level. It means it is on a Daraisa level, but in other words, it's based on the Torah gives the Chachamim the ability to determine when to accept one aid and one two aidim. And here we're saying that there's reason to accept one aid. Most of the other Rishonim learn though. The Rambam seems to be a little equivocal about it. And he says, He talks about the Chachamim believing him, but then at one point he talks about the Torah believing him. So does that mean he holds Daraisa or Darabanan? Different Mefarshim of the Rambam discuss that. Tosfos over here says that it's not necessarily that submit. So it is Darabanan. However, Tosfos says when we say the Chachamim don't have the ability to uproot something from the Torah, here it's not really uprooting. Here it's sort of bypassing, because what we're saying is the Chachamim have a strong reason to say that we can believe that one aid because of this Isha Daiko Minsava, and therefore that allows them, therefore the Torah gives them the power to use that logic of theirs to say that that in this case one aid would be enough. So Tosfos Yeshanim adds the Isha Daiko Minsava. Tosfos says that just more generally, because after all, it is very likely that the aid is telling the truth. And the Rambam in particular points out, actually, when you think about it, it's one thing we can't necessarily accept one aid where we have reason to think that he might be lying and he might be able to fend for himself afterwards and say that I thought it was such and such and it wasn't. But here, you don't really have. I mean, he says the guy is dead and then the guy shows up. There's no contradicting him. Obviously, what he said was not true. There's no fend-for-ing it. Therefore, to begin with, the aid himself is going to be more cautious about saying it because he doesn't want to be exposed as a liar. So there's that point Tosfos is saying, and Tosfos Shonim adds, there is also the fact that Isha Daiko Mintzava, so all of those reasons will allow the Chachamim to say that one aid is good enough for this purpose. But again, in order to make that work, it required that they apply all those chumras to her in order to make sure that Isha Daiko Mintzava. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Teitze Mizeo Mizeo Befola, we said that if she does marry on the basis of the one aid, then she has to divorce both of them and all these various consequences apply. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav, Lo Shonu Al Shinissus Be'ed Echad. That particular din that she has to divorce, that she has to get divorced from both of them, and she's never allowed to remarry either one, is only if she married on the basis of one aid. Avol misas apishne edim loy teitze. But if she married on the basis of two edim, came and said her husband is dead, then she doesn't have to get divorced. Now, what does it mean she doesn't have to get divorced? On the face of it, it means that she's allowed to continue in her second marriage. So the Gemara says mechaku alei b'marav. They laughed about that in Eretz Yisrael when they heard that din. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Machakwa Lab Maraba is Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina, specifically laughed at that. He says, what are you talking about? Also Gavra Bakoi, what are you talking about? Her husband came back. He's standing over here. We see that he's alive. You're saying she shouldn't have to divorce her second husband? Why? It's very clear, obviously. Two Adim, fine, but nevertheless, the guy's here. Obviously, they didn't know what they're talking about, or they were lying or whatever. So how can we say that her marriage with this guy is over and therefore she's allowed to stay with her second husband? Necessarily, we have to say that those Adim obviously were lying or made a mistake or whatever. In fact, Tosfos says, I mean, you wouldn't even say that once two Adim said he's dead, then we consider him dead lahalacha and the fact that he shows up doesn't matter. Tosfos says that no, you're not going to say when you have something dovan nidav yadua lakol, when you have something easily visible and known to everybody, you're not going to say that two Adim established new facts and that's that. Obviously, the fact is the guy's alive, and we say in this case the Adim were lying or mistaken or whatever. So how can Rav be saying that we're going to allow her to stay married to her second husband when the first husband shows up and it's clear that he's alive and well? So the answer is loy tzricha to also beit shrei. The answer is the case is that Rav is talking about. Sorry, I skipped the line. Loy tzricha de lo yad inamai. So the answer is that the Rav is talking about where we don't know him for sure. We don't actually recognize him. So two Adim came and said he's dead. She remarried on that basis. Now someone shows up and he seems to be her husband, but we can't be sure. So then Rav will be saying that we'll allow her to stay married to her second husband. If we don't actually recognize the guy, then even if he married only on the basis of one aid, why are we forcing her to get divorced from her second husband? We don't even know if this is him. The answer is like Sricha to Osu Beitre. What Rav is talking about, it is after all that two aidim came, but Amri Anan Havinan Bahade Mikinofik Vad Hashta. They say, we were with him ever since he left town until now when he came back. So we know that it's him. You don't recognize him. Okay, you're not recognizing him. It could be even because his appearance changed. After all, you have the example of Yosef with his brothers, where he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. Why is that? Because Yosef left when he was sold. He was 17. He didn't yet have a beard, or if he had a beard, it was very small and wispy, as usual with 17-year-olds. And now when the brothers meet him again, 22 years later, he has a full beard. So they didn't recognize him. So we see that a person's appearance can change to the extent that people won't recognize him. So now the Adim are saying, listen, you don't recognize him. Okay, you know, he's had a hard time and his face has changed. But nevertheless, we can testify that it is him because we've been with him the whole time. So if there's one aid against them denying and saying it's not him, then we're going to say two against one, two wins out. But if you have two against two, he's dead. Now you have two Adim who come with him and say, actually, this is him, and we've been with him the whole time. Well, then you have two.
Could you repeat
two.
That?
We're going to say like this.
We lost the. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't hear your last sentence.
Okay. Yeah. So the case is that you have two Adim come and say that he's dead. Then he shows up and with two Adim. Now nobody recognizes him, but the two Adim who are with him say this is actually him. You don't recognize him because his face has changed over the years, but nevertheless it is him. So now you have two Adim against two. Therefore, Rav is going to say, fine, you still shouldn't be allowing her maybe the Hatzchila to remarry because we can't be sure until we straighten it out. But if B'dievet, if she did marry, then we're not going to force her to divorce the second husband because after all, she married on the basis of two Adim who said that her husband is dead. So that would be the case. So the Gemara says, soif, soif, trey, trey, ninu. Yeah, but after all, you have, so what do you have? Two Adim against two Adim. So at the very least, isn't whoever has relations with her is going to be requiring to is going to be required to bring an Oshem Tolery. So isn't that a strong enough basis to say that nevertheless, okay, she married, but nevertheless, there's still a strong reason to believe that there is an Issur over here, and therefore that she shouldn't be allowed to stay married to him because it might be that she's still married to her first husband because maybe after all, this is her first husband and this is after all her first husband and And therefore that she's married illegally. Tosfos discusses, by the way, that there is now in general when we talk about an Oshem Tolery, you have to discuss the question: do we require that there's actually that there are two different things over here, and we don't know, and he doesn't know whether he did or ate one of them or the other. For example, in the case of Chelev, Rav himself holds that the case where you bring an Oshem Tolery is where you have two pieces in front of you. One is Chelev and one is Shuman, and then you ate one and you don't know which is which. As opposed to when you just have one piece, then you don't necessarily say that. So Tosfos says, on the reason why in that case, Rav would say that you need two pieces and why that works is because ultimately with two pieces, it's not always going to be a suffix. You could get an expert to look at the two pieces and determine which one is Chelev and which is not. The same way, it's possible to determine whether these Adim are lying or not because we can do Hazama. The Hakosha won't work because two against two, all it leaves us is status quo. But we can have Adim that come in and amazim them and say Imanu Hayisem, as you usually have. So then in that case, then it will show that one set is false Adim and the other ones are true. So therefore, Tosfos says that can still be compared to the case of two Chatichas. Tosfos Hashanim says anyway, maybe that the Gemara discusses over there in Chrysos and says that it's not necessarily that Rab says you need two chatichas. The Gemara discusses over there that possibly Rab's opinion might be understood to say you need only one. So therefore, that's in effect what you have over here. It's one woman and we don't know whether she's mutter or not. Anyway, so the question is, given that we're requiring them to bring an Oshem Tolery, So how can we allow her to stay married even b'dieved once we have these two Adim against two Adim who say he's dead and two Adim who say that no, he's alive and here he is? So the answer is, Amar of Sheshes, you mentioned Nisus la'echad me'edeh. The answer is, we're talking about specifically where she married one of the Adim who came and said that her husband is dead. So now that Aid knows for a fact that what he said is true. So therefore, so he wouldn't bring an Oshem Tolery. So the Gemara says, he goofa ba'oshem tolery, because an oshem tolery is only when a person is concerned, liboy noikfa, as Rashi puts it, that his heart is beating and he's nervous, did I actually do something which is also or not? Here, the Ada say, no, I know for a fact what I'm saying is true. These two other guys are coming with somebody and passing him off as her husband. I don't know who these guys are. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what kind of shtick they're trying to pull over here, but I know that what I said is true and I have another aid to back me up. So therefore, so he wouldn't be bringing an Oshem Tolery. Okay, the Gemara says, he go for Oshem Tolery Kaima. Knew, what about her? She'd still need to bring an Oshem Tolery. Isn't that reason enough to say that the marriage shouldn't continue? And the answer is, by Meres Bori, because the case is where also she says, I'm certain. She says, for example, that we have, for example, the Adim came and said to Ados that her husband is dead, and they gave certain simonim, which would be unique to her husband. We're going to learn at the end of the Masechta what kind of simonim would be accepted. So again, then therefore, so you have the case. So he knows for certain, the aide, that what he said was true. She knows for certain that what the aide said was also true because he gave simonim or because she knows that he's a trustworthy person or whatever. So therefore, so there's no Oshem Tolery involved. Therefore, Rab would be saying, fine, maybe they shouldn't have gotten married l'chatchila, but once they're married, we can't force them to get divorced just because two aidim show up with this guy and claim that he's her husband. Okay, so the Gemara says Yehochi Milam Memra. So in that case, then what's Rav's Chiddush? Of course, if we're talking about where she married one of the Edim, then it would be allowed. Even Rav Menachem Rav Yosi, which we're going to bring a Braisa in a second, is only talking about that he's going to say that Tate said that she has to be divorced. That he's talking about when Edim came and then she got married. So in other words, so if you have two Edim said that her husband is dead, then two other Edim came and said that he's not dead. Now she went and married somebody. Rav Menachem Rav Yosi is going to say she has to get divorced. Because at this point, it's two Edim against two Edim before she even got married. But in this case, we're talking about over here, it could even be the other two Edim haven't even shown up yet, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Tetze or not. Rav's not talking about can she get married with a Chafila. Rav's talking about that two Edim came and said her husband is dead, so she got married, and as we just established, we're talking about she married one of her Edim. Later on now, one day, two people show up with a third person with them, and they claim that he's her husband. Even Rav Menachem Rav Yosi is not going to say that she has to get divorced in that case. So he only says, Elok Shabo Edim Vachachach Nisus. Only when Edim came and then she got married. Avom Nisus Vachachach Bo Edim Loi. Even he would agree that if she got married and then the other two Edim came, then that's not reason enough to force her to get divorced. So Loi Amar, he wouldn't say. So what's Rav's Chiddush in that case? D'Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa. Shnaim Omim Mes or Shnaim Omim Loi Mes. If you have two Edim say that the guy is dead and two others that say that not, or Shnaim Omim Nisgarsha or Shnaim Omim Loi Nisgarsha, or two Edim come and say that she was divorced and two other Edim came and say that she wasn't, Harezo Loi Tinase, in both those cases, she shouldn't get married L'Chachila until we straighten it out. V'im Nisus Loi Tetze, but if she did marry, then we don't force her to get divorced because after all, she does have two Edim on her side. Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi Emetetze, but Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi says she does have to get divorced. And the Braisa continues, Omer Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi, Eima Sani Emetetze, when am I saying that she has to get divorced? Bizman Shebo Edim Vachakach Nisus. When Edim came and said that he's not dead, we didn't divorce her, and then she remarried. So even in that case, when she married one of the Edim, let's say, so we're not going to allow her to stay married because the fact is we have two Edim against two, and we need to straighten this out So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying that's reason enough, the fact that we have two Edim that say that the guy is alive, to force her to get divorced. Because why did she get married when she knew already there's two Edim against two Edim, and she didn't bother waiting for them to figure out what's going on over here? So therefore, that was careless of her, and therefore we're going to require them to get divorced. Avon Nisus Vachakach Bo Edim, but Rav Menachem Rav Yosi says if she got married and only then the Edim showed up, so what could she do? Well, she got married perfectly legally because there were two Edim. And she didn't know that any other Edim are going to come, of course. So now, just because other Edim showed up, how can that be strong enough to make her get divorced? Rav Menachem Rav Yosi says it doesn't. So therefore, there's no chidush in what Rav is saying, because even Rav Menachem Rav Yosi, who's being machmir, would be makel in that particular case. So if we say that Rav is talking about where there's two Edim that he's dead, two more Edim that say that he's alive, and she married one of the original Edim, then there's no chiddush in what Rav is, and we're assuming that it happened in the order, I should say. We're assuming that Rav is talking about it happened in the order that two Edim came and said her husband is dead. She married one of those Edim. Now two other Edim showed up and said that this is her husband. So then we're going to say Loi Seitze. Well, there's no chiddush in that. The answer is Ki Ka'omer Rav Nami, Bizman Shebo Edim, Vachakach Nisus. So therefore, you're right. Rav is talking about where the second set of Edim came and then she got married. Ula Puki Mid Rav Nachman Rav Yosi. So therefore, Rav is telling us, not like Rav Menachem, but Rav Yosi, saying, I disagree with him. He's saying that only we're only going to allow her to stay married only if the second set of Edom came after she remarried. Rav is saying, no, once she has two Edom on her side, it doesn't even matter that two other Edom came right after them and said that he's not dead, and even bring them with him, and even bring them him with them, and claim that it's him. Rav is saying, nevertheless, since she has two Edim on her side, and she's marrying one of them, and she's saying Boridli, and that Ed is saying Boridli, then that's good enough for us, and we're not going to require her to get divorced. That is Rav's Chiddush, that he doesn't hold like Rav Menachem Rav Yosi. Ikadamri, another version, the Ikka de Amar, another version is that no, time of the nisus va'achakach bo edim, that only if she got remarried and then edim came, only then would Rav say that she doesn't have to get divorced. Abu bo edim va'achakach nisus teitze. But if the edim, the second edim came first and then she got remarried, then according to the second version, that Rav would say she doesn't have to get divorced. In which case, that she does have to get divorced rather, because the second edim came first. Kiman k'rav Menachem ben Rabbi Yosi. In which case, that would be like Rav Menachem ben Rabbi Yosi. So that would be according to the Ikar d'Amri. The chiddush is that that Rav would be saying, you should know that I hold like a Menachem ben Rabbi Yosi, and I say there is that distinction, unlike the Chachamim in that Braisa, unlike Tanakama in that Braisa, who says in Nisus Lo Teitze that she doesn't have to get divorced if it's two against two. Regardless, Rav would be saying that no, only when you have a case similar to our Mishnah, where she got married and then the other Edom came, then we would say that because Rav, after all, is referring to our Mishnah. So in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah started talking about that if one aide came and she got married, then we force her to get divorced if the husband shows up. So now Rav is saying in the parallel case with two and two, then we would say that if the second set of aidim showed up before she got married, then she gets married anyway, then Tate say we will force her to get divorced. But on the other hand, but if the Edom showed up later, then not, which would mean that he'd hold like Rav Menachem Rabbi Yosi, and that would be the chiddush that he wants us to know, that he wants us to know that in fact the halacha would be like Rav Menachem Rabbi Yosi. Okay, the Gemara says Masiv Rava. So Rava says, I have a contradiction to all of this. So you're telling me that that in a case where somebody says Bori Li, then we're allowed, and then we allow them to do whatever it is. A braisa says that when the pasuk says about a koyin v'kidashtoi, you should make him holy. That means bal kochei. That means you have to make him holy, whether he likes it or not. If, for example, if he wants to, become tamei mes, or if he wants to marry a woman who's pasuk to him, then we're not going to allow him. Minayin sheim lo rotza. How do we know? I skipped the line. Sorry. Minayin sheim lo rotza. How do we know that if he doesn't want to, he wants to become tamei, he wants to marry a woman he's not allowed to, dafnoi, then you have to. Dafnoi, which literally means like beat him. So how do we know that? Therefore, the pasuk says kidashde, which means even against his will. So, what are we talking about? Hey, chidami. Are we talking about that? In other words, we're saying it doesn't apply just to a koyin; it applies more generally to a case where somebody is doing something which is osur on the face of it. But let's fine. Let's say we're limiting it to a koyin. So, are we talking about where she married somebody else, not one of her edim, and she didn't say bodily? And now the question is she considered a zona as a result of having married somebody when her husband is in fact somebody else, when her husband is in fact still alive? And you're discussing whether she's a zona or not. Now a koyin wants to marry her. Do we need to say that we would force the koyin to not marry her? Of course not. We know for a fact that we don't have any basis for saying that we shouldn't that her marriage should have been valid to the extent that she wouldn't be a zoya. Obviously, we're talking about she married one of the edim, and therefore she's claiming body that I trust this aid implicitly. He's one of two after all, and the aid himself is saying body thee, and V'ka'amra Borili, and so she married one of the Edim, she's saying Borili, V'katoni Dafnoi, and the Braisa is still saying Dafnoi, Alma Mapkinen Lamine, which would mean, therefore, that we force her to divorce. So in other words, the scenario would be that, she was married, and two Edim came and said that her husband died, she married one of those Edim, later on her husband showed up. So now, let's say, for example, to keep things simple, that shortly after that, her husband, the aide, died. Now, is she allowed to marry a koyin? On the face of it, what we're saying is, what the braisa is adding by saying dafnoi, is that no, if a koyin wants to marry her, and we're not sure whether she's a zoina, because we're not sure whether, in fact, her marriage to the aide was valid, since, after all, her husband showed up with two aide and backing him up, then we're saying dafnoi, we're saying force him to divorce this woman. So that shows that we force him to divorce her, showing, in other words, so how can Rav be saying that in such a case we allow them to stay married, to the aid, that is? The answer is Isur Kohuna Shiny. It's different by the Isur of Kohuna, that there, since the pasuk is saying the Kidashtoi, then it means that it means that that we're saying that in that particular case, we're going to say that the Kohen should not marry her because there's a possibility that she's a Zoyin. But here, where she's already married to one of the Edim, then yes, we're not going to force her to divorce the Edim. The Iboy same, my Daphne, Daphne be Edim. Another possibility is the word Daphne doesn't necessarily mean beat him up. It means bring Edim against him. Beis Din is going to be responsible to find more Edim to contradict the earlier ones to say, therefore, that that she's also to marry this Kohen. So they're going to take every step possible to say, since after all, it's not 100% for sure that her husband is dead, there is always the possibility that the Edim are lying. And just because she says Bodhi Li and the Ed says Bodhi Li is maybe not enough. So when it comes to a Kohen, Beis Din is going to be responsible to try and look for other Edim and to contradict it. And therefore to say to the Kohen, look, you know, this lady, you want to marry her, but we have Edim that say that her husband wasn't dead at the time. Therefore that she's a Zoyna and you can't marry her because of the Kedusha of Kohona. But not necessarily. In a regular case, would we say that to the extent that Beis Din should be responsible for finding Edim to prevent her from staying married to the Edim? A third possibility is, again, the Braise over here can, in fact, be talking about where Edim came, then she got married, and it follows Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, who says that Beis Din is going to force her even to divorce that Ed. So now we're saying that now, if after that Ed died, now she wants to marry a Kohen, then Beis Din will beat the Kohen up to prevent him from doing that because Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi says she should have even gotten divorced from the Ed to begin with because she had no business marrying him since she only married him after the second set of Edim came. So therefore, so this Braisa, so however we explain it, this Braisa is not a contradiction on Rav. Okay. Rav Ashi says a different answer to answer the question on Rav. The question again was before that what does Rav mean when he says that if the woman got married when you have two Edim against two Edim, we started the sugya that said Nisus al pishnei Edim loitates, and if she got married on the basis of two Edim, we don't force her to get divorced. And we've been discussing what does Rav mean by that. And we were discussing the case, we have two against two, and she married one of the Edim, and we went through that whole scenario. Rav Ashi says, my loitetze, to call him a Rav, you know what, when Rav says loitetze, and you're assuming all this time that it means that she doesn't have to divorce her second husband, no, that's not necessarily what it means. Rav means loitetze me'at teira harisha. It means she doesn't lose her original heter, meaning, in other words, she's allowed to go back to her first husband. It's not considered that we say the second marriage didn't exist because the fact is her husband is alive after all. But we're saying because she married on the basis of two Edim, so she's considered an Anusa, we don't consider. So obviously if her first husband is a Kohen, then he can't because a Kohen is also to an Anusa. But if her first husband is a Levi or a Yisrael, then yes, she will be able to return to him because we consider her an Anusa. So in other words, Rav would be telling us if she married on the basis of one aid, she's not considered an Anusa. It was careless of her to do it on the basis of one aid. Therefore, we're going to penalize her and prevent her from returning to her first husband. But if it was two aidim, then Rav Ashi is saying, all Rav is telling us is that she can return to her first husband and we ignore the second one. We don't say that. We said that the second one was considered an Oyas. So the question is, Ha'omer Rav, Chodah Zimna. Didn't Rav already say that? We said in our Mishnah, Nisus Shaloi B'Roshus Moteres Lachsaloi. We said that if she got married without the Shus of Beis Din, meaning we said if there are two Edim, then she's allowed to return to her husband. And the Omer Rav Huna Omer Rav Hochi Yochasa. And Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that is in fact the halacha. So we see that Rav clearly said that if she married on the basis of two Edim, then she's allowed to return. And then her husband showed up, her first husband, her original husband showed up, then she's allowed to return to him. So why would Rav need to say the same thing twice? And the answer is, you're right. Rav didn't actually say the two statements. He said one statement and we infer the other one from it. So therefore, so that's it. So Rav is not telling us anything about the order of things, whether there were two Edim against two Edim, etc. All we're saying is that if she got married on the basis of two Edim, then we don't penalize her by forcing her to leave her, by forcing her to get divorced from her first husband. We're going to allow her to stay married to him and say that it was an onus. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Itmar, so now we have discussion about that. Omar Shmuel, Lo Shano El Shalema Cheshato. All of that is only talking about where she's not contradicting the person. So this person shows up and says, I'm your husband, and she's not contradicting him. And then we say that that we're not going to, she's not contradicting him. She's saying that you know, you're right. You are my husband. Then we're going to force her to get divorced from the second husband. But if she's denying it, if she's saying you're not my husband, then we don't force her to get divorced. So the Gemara says, but my askin, well, what's the scenario? Ilema bevei today. If we're talking about that, there are two edim. Ki machash esalei my habi. Who cares if she's contradicting them? You don't believe her against two edim. So obviously we're talking about one aid. So time of demakhashasa. So the implication is, why do we believe her? Because she's denying him. Hashoska teitze, implying that if she was quiet and she doesn't say anything, we would force her to divorce because maybe this is her husband. Why? Whenever the Torah believes one aid, harei kan shnayim, then that one aid is the equivalent of two. The endvar of shalachad makam shnayim. One can't stand up against two. So if we're saying that one aid is acceptable to make her mutter, then that in effect is considered like two aidim. So how is her contradicting him helpful at all? So the answer is hachav ma'askin b'psula aidus. Because here we're not talking about where two kosher, here we're not talking about where one kosher aid came, we're talking about where apostle aid came. V'chadidim Nechemya, in which case Shmuel is telling us like what Reb Nechemya said. The Tanya Reb Nechemya, Kol Mokam Shemina Torah Eid Echad. Whenever the Torah believes one aid, Holach Achad Roiv Deis. Then what it means is you have to follow the majority of the people who are saying about it. So therefore, V'osu Shtei Noshim BeIshachad K'Shnei Noshim BeIshachad. So the Chachamim established that two women against one man are the equivalent of two men against one man. So in other words, what are we saying? So here, if the husband hadn't come and you had one aide came and said that he's dead and two psula aiders that said that he's not dead, we would still accept that we would say that she still has the cheskas eishes ish because two beats one. So now if the husband comes together with two posula aidim and saying that it's him and she's saying, she's saying, I'm not machfish, maybe it is you, but maybe not, I don't recognize, then the fact is, you have two aidim against the one aid because you have the one. You have her, and you have one possible aid. But if she had said that I know for sure that it's not him, then we would ignore the first aid because you can't have possible aidim saying aidless about him. So we would say that she has a chazaka. So then she left it. She doesn't have a chazaka of an aishas ish because the original aid came. So that's what we'd be talking about. Where to begin with, the aid that came was apostle aid. So now, then if she contradicts him, then the verses doesn't contradict him, then you have a difference. The Iboy same, another possibility, when you have one aid, when one kosher aid came to begin with, then we would say that even 100 women against him count as one aid. So the case we're talking about over here, going to ask the Isha Me'ikra, where a woman came to begin with and said that he's dead. The touts of Reb Nechemya Hachi. So explain what Reb Nechemya is saying as follows. Reb Nechemya, Mekom Mokom Shemina Torah Eid Echad. Whenever the Torah believes one aid, Holach Acha Roiv Deis. And really, what it means is you go according to the majority of people. But also Shtei Noshim BeIsha Achas. So what it is you establish two women against one woman, or Kishnei Noshim BeIsha Achad. Like two men against one man. In other words, two women are more believed than one woman. But according to that second version, if it was two women against one man, then it would be like one aid against one aid, and therefore, so even if she doesn't say anything, then we wouldn't force her to get divorced once she's already married, because in effect, she plus that original possible aid are considered like one aid against the one aid that comes and says that he is in fact alive. So we would still say in Nisus Loitate say that she shouldn't get married, but if she did, we're not going to force them to get divorced. So this is why Shmuel is saying that there's a difference between machashata or not, because if she's denying what the aid says, if she's denying what the aid says, then she counts in effect as one of the aidim. Whereas if she doesn't deny, then it means, in other words, that so we have one aid against one aid, and then we're not going to allow her to get married.